Thank you, Brother Fletcher. It's good to have everybody here today. It's good to see my sister. Amen. Here in the building. Amen. What a blessing. Luke chapter number 2, we're going to be there just for a moment. And if you want to go ahead and take something and put a ribbon there, or if you got other papers in your filing cabinet like I do, put something at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 in your Bibles this morning. It's good to see everyone this Christmas season. I hope that you are telling others about Jesus Christ. It's one of the easiest times of year to be able to share, not only share time with family. Again, it's a time of year that we ought to be sharing and being a witness to the world. Amen. We spoke in Luke chapter number 2 this morning in Sunday school, and we were trying to focus in on Simeon, and I got a little delayed a little bit. I think I got through most of it, but I was trying to give some background there on just the days of purification and the offering that was happening there, and tried to get to the person of Simeon. And next week we'll try to do another person there in the Christmas story that we typically don't talk about. But today I want you to realize here that Jesus is the light of the world. He says that, and even in Simeon's prophecy, he spoke about him being a light to lighten the Gentiles. And today the title of the message will be The Light of Life, out of John chapter number 8. So we'll be preaching on the light of life, and the music this morning, the specials especially, I think will go together well with what God has put on my heart. So let's go to Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin here in Luke chapter 2. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you again for bringing us together into your house. Lord, I thank you for your church, Lord, and I pray that we are a light to the world, Lord, that we would show that we are believers in Jesus Christ, and that they would see that light in us shining out so they might be able to lock in and again accept the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. I pray now, if there's someone in the building today that needs to be saved, that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would go and you would do the work. The Holy Spirit, I pray you would do the work that I cannot do, that you would go into the heart of the hearers, and that you would draw men into the gospel of Jesus Christ. For those of us that have accepted Christ, I pray, Lord, that we would help trust you a little deeper, witness a little more, and hold fast until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter number 2, I want you to see here something that clearly we see Mary. Now, I want to do a little bit of a contrast between two Marys in Scripture and then talk about the light of the world. Mary was a chosen vessel unto God to bring into the world the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us understand that. We realize she was a virgin chosen to birth into the world the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, 100% man, 100% God, born into the world. And for the most part, she was not perfect. There's a lot of people that pray to her and do different things, and we've said this before, she was not perfect. She needed a Savior, just like the rest of the world. But she was pretty good. She would have been pretty devout. She was someone who was a virgin and kept things according to the law, who recognized the angel and accepted the call of God on her life to go through some trials and tribulations of maybe people looking at her like she was not pure. People looking at her like she was a woman of the night, because even Joseph questioned her when he comes back and realized she's with child and they were a spouse to be married. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There had to be some things that were ridicule, and we mentioned some of those things, but this Mary was someone who was pure, who did try to do it right, but still was a sinner that needed to be saved by grace, just like the rest of us. And here, when she gets to the temple, even if you couldn't clue in that Mary wasn't perfect, then why did she need to come to the temple after her days of purification? Okay? She came to offer, to make an offering to cover sin. Amen. All right, so she comes to the temple, and when she gets there, she meets Simeon, who under the power of the Holy Spirit that's resting upon him makes a prophecy that we'll read in verse 31. And it says, which thou hast prepared. He's talking about his eyes had seen salvation. Let's go back to verse 29. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And we read this morning and we realized that Jesus is the light of the world. But he's going to say it in John chapter 8. Turn with me to John chapter 8. And Jesus is going to, and through the book of John, use many times that he's going to term himself. He says, I am. And we preached, I don't know if you can remember back, I preached, I am the door. All right, Jesus defines himself as this, I'm the shepherd, I'm the good shepherd. He's going to define himself as so many different things, but he's prophesied to be light to the Gentile world. And now he's going to say, I am the light of the world. He's going to call it into. I was preaching this morning over at the trailer park, and I was sitting there studying, and I tried to begin to read the book of John, just trying to get context about where I was in the Bible. And I was preaching out of John chapter 3, and I began the book, and Jesus is called the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I was preaching on the subject of love and how the love of God, again, God so loved the world. And I thought, man, I take that letter L and you put it in the Word, and all of a sudden we got the world. You see, the world, this planet is called Earth. When it's talked about as people being on the Earth, it's not called the Earth. We call it the world. And when God's Son came as the Word into the earth, the love of God was shed abroad upon to man. And the light, listen, what we need desperately at this time, we see lights that we put in the wreaths and lights up on the light poles throughout town. Listen, everybody, even in the world, it just takes just a little bit of explaining that when Jesus came into the world, light sprang forth. In a world that was full of darkness, love was shed abroad. And instead of just him being the Word, the world got the love of God, and it can receive it. I want you to see here. There's two different Marys. There's a Mary who is pure as the driven snow, but still a sinner. Then there's another Mary in John chapter 8. Just before Jesus is going to show himself and say, I am the light of the world, while he tries to speak to the men that are around him, I don't know, you know, sometimes when we focus too much just on the word light, we miss the context of John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus has gone to the mountain to pray. This helped me this week because, again, you know, sometimes in this season, we're trying to hit all our marks, be at every occasion. And then we'll have funerals in the midst of all the busyness that we've already planned, and we have activities and things that happen in our own family where folks have to go to the doctor. And sometimes we think, hey, listen, it's just the busyness of the season if we're not careful. But Jesus still woke up, went out to the Mount of Olives, prayed, and now early in the morning at the beginning of the chapter, he's back in the temple to teach. He's gotten filled up so he can dump himself out. And listen, he didn't need to get filled up. He was the Son of God, 100% man, 100% God. But he still went to meet with his Father before he ever went to teach in the temple. And he shows up in the temple and begins to teach. And while he's there teaching, they come to tempt him. They drag a woman named Mary. Maybe you know her brother's name is Lazarus. Sister's name's Martha. She's been caught in an act that nobody should have been a part of. She's drugged into this place, and she's drugged and thrown down in front of him. And right there on the ground, she's there, and they're like, judge her, Lord. Now, the light of the world is right there. And the light of the world is not just there to show people that they're sinners, but to shine light into darkness. To shine love where there's darkness. To shine to us and to let us know, hey, you don't have to die in your sins. Look what he says here. I want you to read with me. He begins this. So she's been put down, and they're tempting him. And Jesus stoops down and puts his finger in the ground in verse 6. In verse 7, it says, so when they continued asking him, that means he kind of ignored them for a while. It says, and he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now, I've heard pastor preach on what Jesus wrote in the sand. I want you to key in. It isn't until after he stands up and looks at them all and says, anybody among you that's without sin, you go on and cast the first stone. Now, I'm just going to look out at a crowd today. There's sometimes, if we're not careful, we get to this time of year when we're out, and sometimes we get feeling a little holier than thou, that we're better than somebody else. And then when really we're supposed to be casting light, that people might be able to, that are in darkness might be able to see. We're not supposed to go and show everybody how much better we are than somebody else. We're just sinners saved by grace. And here all these people who had been shown the light, that knew the law, that had been given a good upbringing and lived a little better than this woman did, who maybe even had the same opportunities, but had chosen wrongly. Instead of helping her, instead of doing something, they bring her in front of Jesus Christ to see what he'll do. Instead of grace, instead of looking for repentance, they want to stone her. I'm going to tell you, folks, you look throughout history, you know what religion, not Christianity, not what Jesus would do, but religion throughout history, all types of religion have persecuted people that they think aren't equal to who they are. Instead of showing the love of Christ and casting light into darkness, we want to put somebody even farther down. We want to throw one more stone on their pile. Folks, I'm telling you, there's a world of folks out there who are lost and hurting and desperately would love to see the light of Jesus Christ. Most of this dark planet, if they could just hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't need to throw rocks at them. What they need is love. They don't need a rock thrown to be cast. Listen, one day, listen, the prophecy that we know, the world does have empires, and it has a big, tall column that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and that one day there'll be a rock hewn out that'll be cast, and it'll take down the image of all the world powers, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. But it didn't come as the Rock of Ages. He came as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I'm so thankful for my Savior. He doesn't say, go on and throw your stones. Because if we were all honest with ourselves today, we may not be guilty of what this lady was guilty of, but all of us are guilty of death. All of us are guilty because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus came to pay for the sins of the world, to seek and to save that which was lost. This same book records that scripture. And here, she says here, look at what he says. He lifting himself up, and he says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. I'm thankful to say today, not one stone was cast that day. Because the light of the world shined light on all the men's heart that were there. And what he shined and told everybody that was in darkness is, this is not the only sinner. By the way, they didn't drag the man down there, did they, either? Then only brought the lady. And he says in verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now I don't know whether he wrote the law the first time, and then he bent down and wrote grace. But he stooped down and wrote down again. It says, and they which heard it, began, they being convicted. You know what has to come before you can be saved? Do you know what the light always brings into the hearts of men and women? Conviction. Now, I've heard some people say, I just don't feel, there's some things. Now, listen, as Christians, you're not always going to be convicted about things in your life. I'm talking about things that you ought to get rid of, like weights and sin. You usually are convicted that you need a Savior. Then when you get a Savior, you ought to begin to realize that that Savior has given you commandments are for your good and his glory. Do you know you don't have to be, if you're a soldier in an army, you don't have to have conviction, okay? You ought to. But what is your conviction about? My country. my family, my home. That's what I'm fighting for. The commands are what I do for my home, my country, my family. I live these things out and I answer the call to the commands that I'm given. Not because I like them all the time, but because I have conviction. Do you know the saved Christian that's had conviction and gets saved and is convicted that they're a sinner in need of a Savior realizes that he's higher and he's holier and I ought to follow his commands because I have conviction, not that I need more conviction. You know, a lot of times people wait around. I heard a great statement from one of the preachers that came to college while I was in Bible college down here. He said, if you want more conviction, go down to the convenience store and rob it. And the police will give you conviction. He said, you don't need convictions where you have commands. Amen and amen. So I'm going to tell you to folks today, you know, God's will is that every man would be saved, but he didn't command anybody to get saved. He gets you, you get to make the choice. You get drawing conviction from the Holy Spirit that he wants you to choose him, not because he made you do it, but because you had light brought on the subject and said, I get to choose between heaven or hell. I get to choose between the light of life or the darkness of sin. Look, folks, he says this. I'm building here. I want you to see here. He says, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times we preach right there and we start there. But we don't do it in context. We don't talk about all the things that came to this. And he comes to this point and he says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, I'm so thankful. You know, it changed my world when I got saved. Where I felt like sometimes I was wandering around in darkness and trying to feel my way. When I got saved, all of a sudden I realized that I accepted the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know all of those statements are going to be found in this passage? And is going to build to a place that in John 14, he's going to name himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The light is going to build the thought and the process into us that he shines light, that he's the way. He's light, that he's the truth, and that he is, listen, he's the life. I can't tell you today, listen, I wouldn't turn back. He's the life. I'm living it up. I've done all kinds of different things in this life, but I'm telling you, I'm not just living for this life. I'm living for my eternal life. Sometimes people drop out and do different things because, oh man, I've got retirement life that I'm looking forward to. Listen, folks, retirement for me, I'm looking forward to it on the other side in heaven. I'm looking for a better rest prepared for the saints. One day when I reach home, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because light will be cast that day. See, all my past sins, there's never. I'm going to tell you what it did. He took my sins the day he forgave them and he cast them into the deepest sea according to the scripture. He put them out into darkness where nobody's going to shine light on them anymore. But what is going to have light shined on it when I reach heaven's shores is every opportunity that he gave me to serve him from that day that he saved me till this. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. My sins are gone. I've been set free. But what I've done for him from that day till now will have light shown on it. You see, I want you to see what Jesus says. And sometimes we don't always look at it like this. He gets tested by the Pharisees again. In verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whether I go. Look what he says in verse 15. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. You know what Jesus just said right there? He wasn't there to judge. In context, the light of the world says, you drug this woman down here and you think that I've come to judge and set the world straight. That's not what I'm here to do right now. I'm here to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm not here to be judge of the world or to judge sin, the reproaches of man. I'm here to shine light on every man's life and let them realize in the light of my presence that they are a sinner, that they do need a Savior, and to take and accept me before judgment comes. Because one day I am coming to judge. One day I will sit on the throne and I will judge sin. But right now I'm not here to judge. I'm the light of the world. I'm here to shine on every man and let them see that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. You say, preacher, you said that. Listen, I want you to take down, if you're taking notes today, you put this down for me. Light lets us judge ourselves. Do you know when you walk into a room, do you know what I do when it's dark? And if my house, listen, I'm going to tell you what happens. You know, we had a married couples activity down at the college this Friday night, and I tried to help them. You know, they wanted me to play the game, but I was the game host, so I couldn't play the game. But I tried to fill in the gaps and answer some of the questions that my wife and I would have answered, because you know how it is. It was dangerous because we put the wives up there and asked them questions and took the husbands out of the room. And then we brought the husbands in to see if they would answer the same way. And then we gave them points. All right, it was dangerous. At the end of the night, I prayed for their marriages. Amen. And one of the things was what I asked the men, and again, some of it was the preacher's fault because I asked them pointed questions, that things that would, you know, be hard for them to answer. I said, what's the one thing about your wife's house cleaning that drives you the craziest? And those guys answered. If I was on the stage and I was on the testimony, I said, nothing. She's perfect. Right? They didn't do that. One wife answered that. But that's not what her husband says. They didn't get no points for that. But I told my wife, she goes, well, what would you say? That was dangerous. I started racking my brain. You know, I judge myself right there. But you know what I said? I said, I don't like that every time she cleans the house, it's a good thing I'm not blind. Because she moves all the furniture. She rearranges the house. So, you know, I'm thankful that we have a little bit of light always on in the house. And that's something I had to have her do, because before she turned all the lights out and I'd have to go through the house like this. You know, and I was stumbling over everything. But how many of us are just like that? You know what light lets us do? It lets us judge for ourselves. You know, when you walk into a well lighted room, you can walk in and you can navigate everything. You don't have to feel your way or hope that you're not about to trip and to stumble, but light shines on the way. It shines what's the true path and which way you should grow. Do you know, for all of us, when we think about salvation and the way to heaven, the light came to show us the way and the light of life, that this is the way to eternal life, that you don't have to worry. Most of the world is caught up in I hope so salvation, and it's not a hope so. You can know if you accept Jesus as your Savior, because he's the light. He's shown light that the rest of the world is in darkness, and the rest of the world is trying to give you a hope of reincarnation, giving you hope of some third Mahdi that might come back, of hope of again, that's not for men and women at different levels, but salvation is the same in Christianity. Jesus shone light in your life that you could accept him, and that because of what he did, not because of what you have to do. You know, every religion is all about what you got to do to be saved. Christianity is about what Jesus has already done and you accept. Christianity is all about you bowing your head and your heart and surrendering it and saying, I trust Jesus with my eternal life. I accept his payment of sin, of his payment for my sin. I accept his resurrection. Listen, the hope I have today is not that I have any power to rise again, but that he has power. My hope today is not in that I have any power for salvation, but that his blood has power to save every sin that's ever been committed, and anyone will put their trust in his name. See, the gospel light, listen, the light is for you to judge yourself. You know what I'd like for you to do today while you're sitting in this place? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you ought to see the light of Jesus Christ that shined into this room today and judge yourself. Are you saved or are you lost? Are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? Because if you're in your own sins and you've never accepted Jesus, the light of life, as your Savior, the Bible says that you're condemned already. Jesus isn't judging you. God has already judged. He's already condemned all sin to go to hell. And so if you're still in your sin, the light from heaven, the Lord Jesus who came, shines light and shows you you're already lost. What you need to do is accept the Savior. Second of all, I'd like you to see this. The light doesn't judge right now. I've said this, but it doesn't judge right now. Look down at verse number 18. Verse 18 says, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So he's going to witness, all right? He's going to bear witness of the truth, but it doesn't judge right now. He says, for I am not, look back at verse 16, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two is true. So here he's going to give us some testimony. Testimony of two are true. If the light doesn't judge right now, then who has judged? The Father has judged. The testimony of two. Now, they didn't understand this. And if you were to read the rest of the chapter, which we don't have time for, he would come to the place where he's going to consistently tell them that he has two witnessing. The Father and the Son are witnessing of themselves. And he's going to get to the place where even these Pharisees go as far to say, what, are you going to kill yourself? And just look at the verses. I'm going to read it to you because many of you looked at it. Look for verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whether I go, ye cannot come. They're trying to discredit Jesus in any way they can. Your witness isn't true. Jesus says, I'm not here to judge right now. He's going to build to a place that I'm going. Listen, the reason I'm going is to prepare a place for you. They think that the Messiah, and again, you say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying like this, he's not here to judge right now. He constantly throughout this passage is saying, I got to go. I've got to go away. I'm going to go. And he's going to build all the way to chapter 14 where he's going to go. He's going to, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's going to tell them that he goes to prepare a place for them. And if it wasn't so, he would have told them. Jesus is not wanting to leave his people behind, but he has to go so that we can get the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, so that when you get saved, then you say, well, I don't understand this. I know so salvation. Well, it's not bound up in you. It has everything to do with God. You realize the book of John is already built from one place where he says, for God so loved the world in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son. We're in the time period, right? Jesus shows up and purchases for all mankind. In Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 6 and 7, it says he redeemed us with his own blood. And then it goes on to say in the same chapter in verse number 13 that when he went away, that he sent the Holy Ghost back to indwell us, to seal us, to keep us. God's idea. Salvation was God's idea. Then he sent a light to show the world that his idea would work if we would accept him, the Lord Jesus Christ, redeem us back into himself, and then not only just redeem us, but keep us until the day of redemption. See, too many people, even those that know the truth that God the Father sent Jesus and Jesus came, then there's others that'll preach that after you get saved, you got to keep it, that you got to keep it up. And that's false. It's false. It's false. You couldn't keep it before. Nobody in the Old Testament could earn salvation, and you couldn't earn it or keep it after you were saved. Thank God the idea for salvation came from heaven. It was God Almighty, and he chose all men to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then his Son came from heaven, died on a cross, and rose again. And then the Holy Spirit, he went to go prepare a place for us and sent back the Spirit of God to indwell us, to embody us, to keep us until he came back for us. The work of salvation, the light that God wanted shine into us, is that all of God can do all the work of salvation. All we got to do is accept it. Not judging us. we judge ourselves and we can accept Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the day as a young boy. I came to myself. Just like that, you know, I wasn't down in the hog pen, I was in church. I was in a youth rally. But sometimes you come to yourself in the hog pen, like Mary does here, and sometimes you're Mary and you've been in church and you've been kept away from the bad things of the world, but you still come to yourself and realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. I came that day, 15 years old, heard it over and over and over again. And I finally bowed my head and my heart and said, Lord, I don't want my works to be judged. Because my works are as filthy rags in your sight. But today I accept Jesus Christ and the works that he did. How he won the victory for me on Calvary. I accept his payment as my payment. I accept his salvation to be my salvation. Hey, folks, and you say, well, preacher, why isn't, listen, I have hope because he gave me hope. Today, when you say, well, what happens inside of yourself? I've said this over and over again. I'm so thankful that inside of me, when I hear somebody say, preacher, the preacher says, are you saved? Inside of me, there's a still small voice that echoes back, yes, you are. It's not my conscience answering back. It's the Spirit of God. Because it's not me that keeps myself saved. It's not me being good or me doing works. It's the Spirit of God at work inside of me, sealing me and keeping me. Folks, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of this season that we enjoy, We prepare, and so many times we get so caught up in presents, we forget that a present came from heaven. And it's the most important thing. And this season should shine the light on the present sent from God, his Son, Jesus Christ, that came to die for the world and rose again that you might have victory, you might have life, and have it more abundantly, the Scripture says. And today, what I want you to have is life and have it more abundantly. What we've tried to do today is shine light into your life so that you could judge yourself. Are you saved or are you lost? If you're saved, then what are you doing with that light? If you're lost, today you can receive Jesus Christ. The light's been shown unto you. You can accept him as your Savior, and you can know that you know that you know that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you, because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, today, the offering that we take up is nothing like what God offered for us on Calvary. It's just a little tiny thing that we give that God asks us for, but really, he offered more than 10%. He gave everything. He gave his all for us that we might be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now that heaven would be my home. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. The message today shined light and showed me that I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere that would say, preacher, pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to pray for you. Is there one anywhere? Would you hold it up high enough? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I don't see any hands. If you're here and you need to be saved and you couldn't raise your hand, you know, you could come forward and we could take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. If you are saved this morning, maybe the Lord shined light in your life that you need to join a good church. Maybe God's shown light into your life that you've been saved, but you've never been baptized and you need to be baptized into a good church. Whatever it is that God spoke to your heart about today, I'm going to pray. Let's stand to our feet as I pray. After I pray, you step out and come as they sing. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray that you would continue to shine light. Maybe someone's hesitant to step out and be saved, but Lord, help them to be brave enough, bold enough to be saved today. I pray for those that need to be baptized and need to join the church. Lord, I pray that they would be bold enough to step out and to step out for you. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Close this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we would love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and folks are praying, why don't you step out and come and receive Jesus as your Savior? I know that it's hard to step out. It's an old-fashioned invitation. But listen, it'll pass from death unto life if you accept Jesus Christ. Heaven will be for sure for you because of what Jesus did for you. Step out and come if God is speaking to you, as Brother Jeremiah sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within,
some for baptism, some to join the church, but maybe you're here and you need to be saved. Why don't you step out and get saved today? We'd love to take the Bible. We want to make sure that everyone that came this morning knows Jesus as their Savior, that knows heaven will be their home for sure. Our whole message and everything we focus on is shining light so that you could judge yourself. Listen, I pray that you would not leave this building lost, but that you'd get saved today if you need to. We'll sing one more hymn to give you an opportunity.
Just as I am, though wilt receive, wilt welcome, parting, cleanse, relieved, because thy promise I
let you be seated. We have some things to share with you this morning. And all right, Diego and Michelangelo, you guys want to come up here this morning? These guys have accepted Christ as their Savior and they want to join the church through baptism. All right. And how many of you welcome them in with a right hand of fellowship? Amen. And so carried. We'll let you guys go around and start to get ready. And Mom, Dad, if you guys want to go with them, you're welcome to up there. All right. If you want to head back, that way you can get ready. And then this morning also, and Amanda Gill have come. They want to move their membership here. They want to join our church through statement of faith. If you guys will stand up here with us so folks will know you. All right, Matthew and Amanda Gill. And everybody, welcome them in with a right hand of fellowship and so carried. Amen. All right, you guys will be seated. And if you would, folks, if you'd come back up after the right after the service. And folks, you come by and shake hands with them and welcome them in, all right, after the service today. All right. Brother Jeremiah, you got a song with light in it today? This one was easier. I gave you an easy one. Okay.
Amen. If you take your hymn books and turn to song number 207, song number 207, Saved by Grace. Someday my earthly house will fill. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all, and now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. And I shall see someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rose-tinted west, my blessed Lord shall say, well done, and I shall enter into rest, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace, and I shall see someday. Till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take his flight. And I shall see him face to face and sing the story, saved by grace. And I shall see amen. And now if you would turn your songbook, as they're getting ready for baptism, if you would turn over to 340, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. We'll sing that until they're ready for baptism. Song number 340. We'll watch the baptism now.
All right, Michelangelo, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand together. We'll have Miguel step up front. And they'll shake hands. You guys come by and give them the right hand of fellowship. We're going to pray. But don't forget, tonight is the cantata. So you need to bring somebody with you. Right? Right, Brother Bert? Not for the, amen? Not the choir. The choir is set, okay? You come to hear the choir tonight, all right? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for, again, another Sunday, Lord, that we were able to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you that you'd help us tonight, again, as we portray through the cantata the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would bless it, you'd bring folks in, people that need to be saved would accept Christ as their Savior, that Jesus would be honored and glorified. Be with our families now as we go our separate ways. Give us safety and bring us back at the appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.